The title of this conference is Pitfalls to be Avoided in Spiritual Direction. There is an old proverb that says, forewarned is forearmed. And so the purpose of this conference is to forewarn both directors and directees of some of the dangers that need to be avoided, some of the pitfalls which can occur and endanger the success of spiritual direction. Basically, as far as the director goes, it is absolutely important that the director realizes that God is the spiritual director, and that the human person that serves as spiritual guide or spiritual director is a catalyst. In this regard, I think St. John the Baptist is an excellent model for all spiritual directors. Very often we see pictures of John the Baptist. He is always pointing with his finger toward Christ. Behold, there is the Lamb of God. There is the one who takes away the sins of the world. John was very good in being able to lead people to Christ, and John himself stay in the background. This is brought out very beautifully in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. It seems that after the baptism of Jesus and after his 40 days sojourn in the desert, that Jesus came back to the vicinity of the Jordan. And sometime later, it seems that Jesus himself started to carry on the same practice as that of John of baptizing people in the River Jordan at a place some distance away from where John was. And it would seem that Jesus, in his preaching and baptizing, was more popular than John the Baptist, that the people began to flock to Jesus rather than to John. And so a couple of the loyal disciples of John came to him and said, Master, that man that you baptized, the one you gave him the start, he's up the stream here baptizing, and the people are all flocking to him. The implication was, why don't you do something about it? You are more important than he is. But John said, did I not tell you that I was not the Messiah? That I'm not the bridegroom, but only the friend of the bridegroom who rejoices when the bridegroom comes. And then he makes this statement, he must increase, I must decrease. I think this is a theme that every spiritual director must always keep in mind. He, Jesus, God, must increase in the soul of the directee. I, the director, must decrease. Another way of putting this is that the director needs to think of himself or herself as a catalyst. A catalyst is a particular kind of chemical that is necessary in order for two other chemicals to interact and relate to one another. If the catalyst is not there, nothing happens between these other two chemicals. But if the catalyst is present, then that presence helps to bring about the necessary interaction between the other two chemicals. In the case of spiritual direction, the important thing is the relationship between God and the directee. The spiritual director should always think of herself or himself as the catalyst, as someone who is needed in order to bring God to the person and to bring the person to God. But that is the important thing, the relationship between God and the directee, not the relationship between the directee and the director. Another way of putting this is the phrase, let go, let God. A director must be careful not to try to play God, not to have a Messiah complex, not to allow ego inflation to take over so that the spiritual direction is attracting the soul of the directee to the director. That is entirely wrong. It is true that the director needs to have a sincere love and concern for the person. But the important thing is to help that directee enter into a deeper relationship of love with God. So the director must be careful not to try to play God, but must make a supreme effort to stay in the background, to think of oneself as a helper that is there to bring about a growing intimacy between God and the directee. This is not always easy. If the director is insecure and does not have a sufficient self-confidence, a sufficiently good self-image, there is a tendency, particularly if it's a man, to exert one's power drive and to find satisfaction to one's desire and ambition for power, to have a directee to be completely submissive to the director. On the other hand, if the director is a woman, very often, again, if there is insecurity there, that director may have a desire to have as many deep relationships of love with directees as possible. In other words, to attract the love of the directee toward oneself rather than toward God. And this brings us to the situation that is called transference or projection. Psychologists are of the opinion that whenever there is any kind of deep therapy that goes on between two persons, that invariably, sooner or later, there will be a problem of transference or projection. By this is meant that the director, for example, experiences the directee as the expression or the projection of the director's own anima or animus. If it's a man, it would be the anima. If it's a woman, the animus. By anima, it means the man's femininity. Animus would mean the woman's masculinity. Every one of us has within our unconscious an image of the perfect opposite sex. For a man, that's called the anima. For the woman, it's the animus. And every human being, you might say, is going around searching. Every time that a human being encounters a person of the opposite sex, the human being is trying to see whether that particular human being is able to fulfill the image of femininity or masculinity that one is carrying in one's unconscious. And if that flesh and blood human being in some way resembles, some way fulfills the image of anima or animus in one's own unconscious, then there's a tremendous attraction toward that other human being. In other words, we project, as a man, we project our femininity, our anima, upon that flesh and blood human being. If we are a woman, we project our masculinity, our animus, upon that flesh and blood human being. This is really the phenomenon of falling in love. And in the case of spiritual direction, there is if it is very intense at all, if there is an ongoing relationship between a director and a directee, there invariably will be some transference. There will be some projection, both on the part of the directee towards the director and on the part of the director towards the directee. Also, in view of the fact of the phenomenon of what we call homosexuality or lesbianism, we know that each human being is, in a real sense, bisexual, that we are attracted not only to a person of the opposite sex, but there is also a certain sexual attraction to people of the same sex. If that person, again, in some way lives up or in some way portrays our own shadow or our own anima or animus. So this transference is going on all the time in all human relationships, both with people of the opposite sex as well as with people of the same sex. And if there is an ongoing and if there is a rather deep and serious concern about one's inner life in the whole area of spiritual direction, it is to be expected that there will be some transference, some projection of the anima, animus, femininity or masculinity on the part of the director towards the directee and the directee towards the director. Now, what do we do about this? Again, forewarned is forearmed. The more knowledge that the director has of this whole phenomenon of psychological projection and transference, then the more easily the director can be on his or her guard against this happening. And when it does happen, to be able to handle it in a mature way, to bring it out in the open, for example, to talk about it, if necessary, with the directee. So the primary responsibility of handling the pitfalls and the dangers of transference and projection rests upon the director. It is to be expected that the director would avail himself or herself of the abundant knowledge that we now have in the literature of depth psychology, so that one is able to pinpoint, to recognize, call it by its right name when this problem of transference and projection occurs. For the directee, the more the directee knows about this, the more easily the whole thing will be handled. But it is understandable that in most instances, the directee will be unaware of this happening. And so it is the task of the director to instruct the directee, to bring it out in the open and to talk about it and in order to handle it. Now, when this happens, this creates a crisis. Very often, as a result of this, when it is brought out in the open, the directee is not able to handle this, is not able to have to admit that he or she has fallen in love with the director, or that there are other desires, erotic or sexual desires there that, of course, the directee very often is not even aware of. Sometimes the directee is aware of it. To bring this out in the open and to have to admit it and have to put the whole question of spiritual direction on a higher level than that of merely natural human sexual attraction, this is quite a crisis, particularly for the directee. And as a result, very often the directee simply cuts off any relationship whatsoever with the director. So one has to be very cautious, very careful as a director in bringing this whole situation up. On the other hand, the danger, the real pitfall is if the director has this insecurity, this poor self-image, this tremendous desire for power over people and to have deep, intimate relationships of love with people, that the director would even encourage this transference, this projection on the part of the directee. And this, of course, can lead to real dangers, even to a matter of sexual relationships and a total abuse of this wonderful science and art of spiritual direction. So this is a reality, it's a pitfall, it's a danger, and directors particularly need to be aware of it. Directees, as far as possible, also need to be informed concerning it. This psychological phenomenon of transference and projection can be either positive or negative. I've talked about the positive side of it, where we project our positive image of femininity or masculinity upon the other person. There is also a part of our shadow that is negative. And this also is a common phenomenon and a pitfall that needs to be avoided when particularly the directee has a tendency to project his or her negative shadow upon the director. And this will happen whenever the director does not go along with the ideas and the desires of the directee. And of course, the same thing can happen. The director may project his or her negative shadow onto the directee. In other words, to see in the directee all of those things in oneself that one does not like, that are negative or even evil. And we have a tendency to project this upon others. And so the director has to be careful not to fall into this attitude of projecting one's negative shadow upon each of the directees, and vice versa, the directee towards the director. There is the need of the directee to use common sense and to be aware of not giving total blind obedience to the director. This danger, this pitfall occurs either when the directee is very insecure, very much unable to make one's own decisions, and therefore relies exclusively upon the opinion or the decision of the director, will not do anything unless the director says so. This total blind submission and obedience. This is one extreme. Another extreme is for the director, who has a strong power drive, to insist upon absolute blind obedience and submission on the part of the directee. When both of these pitfalls or dangers are present, again, it leads to a very unhealthy situation of, you might say, a director and a slave. And so the directee must always follow one's own common sense and try to make one's own decisions. The suggestions that the director gives are to help that person make up one's mind as to what is the right way to go. But ordinarily, it's not a question of blind obedience. There would be one exception to this, and that is when we're dealing with a person that is very scrupulous, which means a person who is simply psychologically incapable of making a decision about questions of conscience, about whether something is right or wrong, and therefore has to rely on the decision of another person. And this scrupulosity was much more present in the old church, but it's still around. And this is particularly true in the question of confessions of the past, whether a person has confessed something or not, or confessed it properly, and also in regards to the seriousness of a sin. A scrupulous person sees mortal sin all over the place. And so, whenever a person has this inability to make clear decisions between what is right and wrong, and has a scrupulous conscience, in those cases, and in regard to the areas where the scrupulosity is present, yes, blind trust and obedience in the decision of the director is really the only way, or the best way, to help a scrupulous person find peace of soul and to rise above their scrupulosity and to be cured of their scrupulosity. Because of the power, the trust, and the confidence that the directee places in the director, there is a constant danger of pride on the part of the director. In other words, of trying to play God. And so that phrase, let go, let God, is something that the director must constantly remind herself or himself in every spiritual direction session. One of the ways that a director can practice humility is to realize that the director does not have to know all the answers. And therefore, the director must be willing to admit when you do not know the answer, when you do not know what this person should do. And not to pretend, or not to just stick one's neck out. Unless a person has some reasonable assurance that what decision one is making is right, to admit this, I don't know. I don't know what you should do. This will make one's direction much more creditable than if one pretends to have all the answers, to always know the right thing. No human being has that kind of wisdom. And therefore, the director must be able to advise a person, let's say, to go to someone else for spiritual direction, should have enough wisdom and prudence and common sense to know when it is no longer best for the spiritual growth of the directee that the director should continue as the director, but advise a person to go somewhere else. And of course, the same is true when there is some psychological problem that the director does not feel capable, does not have the training and experience to handle, to be able to advise the directee to go to some proper therapist to handle problems that are strictly psychological that the director does not have the ability to handle. It is also good for the director to have some kind of a relationship with a psychologist or several psychologists or psychiatrists, so that if a psychological problem comes up, with the permission of the directee, the director should feel free to consult people who are more knowledgeable in these areas to know how best to handle a particular psychological problem, whether to advise the person to go to someone else, or whether the director is able to handle it himself or herself. Another pitfall in this area of spiritual direction is for either the director or the directee to have too high expectations of spiritual direction or of the other person. For example, the directee to have too high expectations of what the director can do. On the other hand, for the director to have too high expectations of what one can expect from the directee in the way of spiritual progress. We have to be humble. We have to roll with the punches in a certain sense. We have to be able to accept the slowness of spiritual progress that occurs in most persons. Another problem is when the directee is at a higher level of faith than the director. This can easily happen. God leads some simple souls very quickly to a very high level of spirituality. A director needs to be humble enough and knowledgeable enough to recognize this. And when this happens, one of several things then should happen. Either to recommend the directee to go to some other person who is more knowledgeable in these higher levels of spirituality, or for the director to educate oneself in regards to these higher levels of spirituality in order to be able to know the right advice to give, because there is a different kind of spiritual direction for each of the levels. And a director needs to make some estimation of where the directee is to know the particular type of direction to give. Another pitfall to be avoided is that the director may show too great a concern for the feelings of the directee to cause the director to be silent about things, about faults in the directee that need to be talked about. So one has to have courage, even if it's going to offend the directee, even if it's going to hurt that person's feelings, if it's necessary for that person's spiritual growth. They need to be reminded. They need to have their particular shadow and their faults pointed out to them at the right time. However, one of the old masters in the spiritual direction used to say, the best director is the least director. And so, again, the director must not try to play God. That the relationship between the soul and God, that's where the action is. And the director is simply there as a helper, as a catalyst, to encourage, to help a person to know the truth about themselves, the things they need to do to change, to help a person overcome discouragement. On the one hand, to help a person overcome ego inflation on the other, to help the soul overcome mediocrity, to give enthusiasm and encouragement so that the person will continue to go as quickly as possible on the journey of faith. The director needs to be open to the different ways of spirituality other than the way that is most comfortable to the director. And therefore, to give a person freedom, the directee, to follow a different way from the particular way that God has worked in the director's soul. This is the end of the conference.